The role of memory. A mind has ingrained within it a need to constantly compare itself with our own past experiences. That is the role of the memory. We were told as kids that we should learn from our past mistakes and then move on. That is the real reason for having a memory. Yet we don't do that. We are currently living in the throngs of the biggest epidemic of loneliness. I hear this all the time in the clinic as well as from friends. One important reason that we feel alone is because we think we are all alone in having our own particular set of good and bad experiences. We have forgotten to have a heart-to-heart talk, sometime even within families. If we were to open up our hearts and talk to anyone, even a stranger, we would realize that everyone has similar, good or bad experiences just like us. This again just proves that memories are illusory. Everybody has good and bad experiences in the past, and for all of us, they are now all gone. If we examine this fully, we will realize that we are so attached to the concepts of our own past that even thinking of letting them go sounds foolhardy. These memories make us think that whatever we have experienced is true, and hence we think these experiences alone are true. Experiencing something as good or excellent makes us want it again. Hence, our desires for that particular experience feeds into our memory and maintains it. On the other hand, our experience of being traumatized by someone or something makes us want to completely avoid that person or situation. Hence, our dislikes for that person or situation also feeds into our memory and maintains it. Think carefully. Have we not maintained our likes and dislikes in the present moment based on our perception of what we considered as pleasurable or painful, people or situations in the past alone? We have so far been stuck in the illusion of getting constant pleasure from our senses because of the memory of that pudding that we liked, that wonderful experience of sex, etc., or the illusion that we need to run away from a traumatic or painful experience from the past. This self-enamoring of the pleasurable experiences and self-distastefulness of detestable experiences maintain our memories. The senses of the body, their constant interaction with the world, and ensuing experiences as well as subsequent memories maintain the emanating likes and dislikes that we all harbor. Isn't this fact amazing? It is we, human beings, who have been given a razor-sharp intellect to appreciate and understand that all our likes and dislikes are nothing but truly illusory. By using this pure logic alone, we now know that this habit of ours of sticking with our memories and their associated concepts is silly. Just knowing this, through our own awareness, we can come out of this vice-like hold of our memories. We have been given the power, through our own awareness, to let go of the memories. With awareness alone, we can come out of the strange concepts that we have kept in our own memory. We can drop our likes and dislikes right now and retain the innocence of a young child who is constantly in the present moment. Isn't it time that we woke up from our slumber and realized that all our experiences are indeed in the past and we just cannot change them? It is a fact. There is no point in holding on to any of our memories. Let no memories bother us. Let us observe every present moment, which brings with it images and thoughts of the past, with full, earnest, and honest inquiry. Knowing that, we get the strength and the valor to let go of our memories. All our memories are junk, garbage, and completely useless. It is as if we are holding on to rotten food in our own hands and we are wondering where the smell is coming from. We literally just have to drop the rotten stuff and become pure again. Let us allow ourselves to let go of our past. If we associate ourselves with our self, our consciousness alone, rather than our memories, we become a witness to all our memories. Just by using logic alone, we know that life moves at a rapid pace. Memories serve no real purpose as they are from the past. However, the present moment itself includes the past and the future. We can only think about the past while being in the present. Knowing this, let us consider the past as something similar to an illusion. It is there, but not really there. From a trauma point of view, we are literally living in the past as if it is so real now. That is what a flashback is. It feels extremely difficult to let go of the past because the flashbacks appear to be so real. We could use this reasonably simple technique of being a witness to our memories as a fantastic way of letting go of the past. This might seem very hard, especially for people who have suffered a lot of traumas, especially if repeatedly. We might have very poor self-esteem. We might also have a strong physiological and physical response associated with a traumatic experience, such as avoidance, nightmares, sweating, and racing heart. For such experience, I do recommend breath-based meditation techniques, such as Sudarshan Kriya Yoga, to help in grounding us first and then returning to learning to be a witness of our own memories. And we pause here. We discussed in our group the real aspect of self-inquiry and what this chapter really entails. The process is of asking, who is asking the question? Who is experiencing the memory? What is making the memory work in the first place? Is there something deeper than what I think I know how the memory works to realize that I don't know? Once I realize that I do not know, then the concepts in our brain stop to finally break apart and we experience stillness and silence. That source, that causeless cause of this world, which is there but not really there. This world exists grossly because we can see it, feel it, hear it, touch it. But when we sleep, this world disappears. So which is true? That sleep-based absence of this world, or the enhanced way that we see it through our senses? Which is true? I'm not giving you the answer. You have to think about it. In deep sleep, that experience completely goes, but I'm still alive. So how is it possible that I suddenly wake up in the morning and this world is there. And when I'm in deep sleep, this world has disappeared. Doesn't that give us a clue that there is something beyond what we perceive which is maintaining this world? Don't jump to any answer right just now. Keep thinking, what is it that is beyond the wakeful state, the dream state, that deep sleep state, and even beyond that state when you get into pure meditation, when you experience stillness? What is maintaining all of that? And what is your relationship with that? Then you will start getting some answers or no answers. Both are correct. And we end here.